What are your prime directives?
Serve the public trust, protect the innocent, uphold the law.
You're listening to another great episode of We Speak Dispatch, sponsored by our friends at Watson.
Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of We Speak Dispatch. We are so excited that you're here. We have got our regular scheduled guests. We have Doug Showalter up there. Hi, Doug.
Hey, hello.
Wow, it's the quietest Doug's ever been. We've got Joe.
I'm just waiting.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's been a long time since I've joined the crew, but I am back and excited to film a few episodes.
Excellent. And hi, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. So we have been looking forward to recording this episode because this has been a topic of conversation. We were actually talking about this before we started recording, and we had to say, whoa, wait. Start recording because we're having some really good dialogue. So today's episode is going to talk about artificial intelligence and machine learning in public safety. And so I think before we get too far into what we're going to like dive into, I think I need to define at least very basic foundational what artificial intelligence and machine learning is in public safety. So I'm going to read this. So it is specific. Uh-oh. Artificial intelligence and specifically machine learning are being tested in an increasing number of fields, including data-centric environments. So data-centric, think dispatch. Image or text analysis, speech recognition, chat box interaction, custom machine learning models, all of these are elements that could enable the AI journey of a public safety and security organization. So, Doug, you've got a furrow on your brow. So basically, do you know about artificial intelligence and machine learning in public safety? And what's your initial thought about that? So Doug, I'm going to start with you because I think you've got a lot to say.
Look, here's the thing. I hate to be, you know, old, but I think AI is great for a lot of things. But when it comes to this job, I think we really have to be careful with this AI. Because AI can be perceiving certain things in a different way than we're perceiving it as a human listening to what's going on. Because if I can hear somebody's voice is a little quivery or something, I'm going to recognize that. Will some robot be able to tell me what it is? Because I don't think anybody in existence wants Alexa or Siri answering 911 calls. We don't want that.
Right.
Because we know that would not be a good thing if they did. And I think that's where people think AI technology is going to suddenly swoop in and give this great performance of everything like that. But I still think you have to have that human contact. You have to have that human connection to this stuff.
So okay. Go ahead, Jill. Before we get into this, I'm going to give you my thoughts before we continue. When you talk about AI and machine learning, I was on the phone the other night trying to cancel some channels that we had with our one cable company.
Mm-hmm.
It took me like an hour between a phone tree and online AI chat. So if we're going through AI and machine learning in that respect, I've got lots of questions when it comes to 911 because I had trouble trying to cancel channels on a cable service. Like, how's that going to work?
Wait a minute, Jill, you mean screaming operator? Operator, it doesn't work.
No, it didn't work. Neither did agents.
Well, and I think maybe we need to, you know, clarify what we're talking about, because I agree, and I don't think anybody on this panel would disagree, that there has to be a human element inside of public safety, because there is so much of a nuance that happens when you're answering emergency calls and things like that. Absolutely agree. But there are some solutions out there and some programs that already exist that aren't there to take away from the job that the call takers and the dispatchers are doing, but are there to enhance the job. So for example, one company that I know of, and it also touches another, you know, kind of hot button for a lot of dispatch centers, is there's a company, it's a gun detection. It's weapons detection. And it is integrated into an existing security camera system. So at places where there's not supposed to be weapons, like hospitals, courthouses, libraries, schools, all that stuff. So what happens is this solution is running through the security cameras, and it will know through artificial intelligence, hey, the person that's walking up to the building right now is armed with a gun or is armed with some type of weapon. That image or that video is sent to a monitoring agent, the human element, that then will verify, yes, that's a gun. Oh, that's a guy that's dressed as a cop, or, you know, whatever. And then forward that image or that video directly into the 911 center. So now that image of the person who is carrying the weapon is now an image that the call taker is looking at to provide information to the responding officer. So in that respect, it's not so much, maybe that's the difference. It's not dispatch centric, meaning taking away from a dispatcher, but enhancing the ability of the jobs that they do. So Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we don't want to necessarily overlook. When we hear AI, I think that the initial thought is a computer is going to take the calls. And I think that when we start at that level, there's a lot of unknown and a lot of fear that comes to mind. If we actually start at the other end of the spectrum and say, where can AI make us better at our jobs? I think that it might get much more of a warm welcome when it comes to 911 centers. And an example would be AI taking a call and listening, kind of like that gun detection, and then learning from it when you have downtime, if that exists anywhere in your 911 center, where you can then say, AI noticed this sound, or AI heard this, and let the dispatcher then hear it back and learn from that to better recognize calls or better recognize noises or sounds. Because right now it's just kind of all OTJ, or whether your supervisor reviews a call or hears something. But having a computer assist us to become more efficient and effective at our jobs, I think we need to look at the benefits instead of saying AI is going to take over a job. What can AI assist us with? And when we start at that realm, I think it might be receiving a much better welcome to the 911 world.
Yeah, and there's absolutely, there's some programs out there, and maybe you've seen some of them. I know that in my full-time job, we use Slack, for example. And I think YouTube has this feature, but for ADA reasons, it will auto-generate closed captions. So Slack, and there's a couple of people that I work with who have a very thick accent. And it's funny because Slack, when they are creating those closed captions, you're reading it, you're like, and that's not what he said. You know, I know what he said, and that's not what he said. But through machine learning, which is absolutely just a derivative of artificial intelligence, through machine learning, what happens is the machine starts to recognize, oh, I'm listening to someone who has an English accent. I'm listening to someone who has an Australian accent. I'm listening to someone who has a Southern accent. And slowly over time, the accuracy of those closed captions will become greater because the machine is learning. So here's the, and I know Doug, you're biting your tongue. So here's another example where, and it kind of goes with that closed captioning, is you've got somebody who's calling 911 and they don't speak English. And we all know what a joy it is to try to get a translator on the phone. Well, there are now artificial intelligence and machine learning solutions that are out there that will immediately recognize they're speaking Spanish and translate it so the call taker can read in English.
What if the call taker speaks Spanish?
Well, if the call taker speaks Spanish, then
you wouldn't need the AI doing that, right?
No, and you could turn it off and on. I mean, there's that solution as well. So now you've got the ability to read, in even if it's somebody who's speaking English, and you know they're soft-spoken or they have some sort of speech impediment or something like that, it's giving you that the readout that you can actually see what is being said as opposed to just relying on what you hear.
Yeah. I mean, I agree that, you know, technology is coming fast and it's good stuff. And I guarantee a lot of it is geared to help dispatchers do their job. Wonderful. Sometimes we go a little too fast on this technology and we start accepting things that maybe we should say, hold on a sec, let's go through this thing. You want to know an example? Here's a simple, simple example. Walmart in several states went away from cashiers. They went to where you check out yourself. Walmart has now decided on those particular states to pull out those machines because they said there's more theft with those machines than anything else because people are not scanning. There's nobody really watching. So they're losing so much more money. So now they're going back to having a cashier do it. And I'm like, that's going, because they didn't think, I don't think they thought it through when they said, let's just make everything automated and you just go check yourself out. I mean, I've done checkout. I'm sure all of you have. There are many times that person's not watching. And you can easily walk out that door. It's like,
right. Yeah. But how many of our communication centers are currently full staffed? Because there's also some AI that, you know, like AWS Connect, where you can set up and it'll answer your 10-digit lines. So not your normal ones, but your 10-digit lines. And you can give it a list of like trigger words. Okay, if it hears gun, if it hears weapon, here's abuse, whatever that list is, then it will automatically.
But are you saying for 911 calls, they're going to answer those things?
No, 10-digit.
Oh, 10-digit. Okay, like kind of like what Jim was talking about with the cable company.
Yes.
We get stuck in a tree. Okay, I got it.
Well, but if, and there's been several communities that have started to use this, because how many communication centers are running at 60% staff, 50% staff, 40% staff? I was just in an agency in Maryland. They are mandated to 7 mandated 12 hours days a month. Yep. Now, if that software or whatever that is could then filter out those calls that, hey, I just want information about how to get a copy of a report, or, you know, my neighbor's dog is barking. Great. Leave that 40% staff available to handle the emergency calls. I don't know. What do you think?
One of the best things I've seen is I was at an agency fairly recently, actually, and they were using automatic callbacks for 911 hangups where the dispatcher never spoke to anybody. And so I'm going to kind of get this a little bit wrong, since it's been a little bit since I've done it or seen it. So if I don't explain it exactly right, look into it is what I'm trying to say.
He's giving us homework.
My understanding is if they did not answer the phone and talk to the person, that their machine would automatically call them back and leave a message if they didn't answer that you've called 911, please call back if it's an emergency. And also give them, if they answered, an opportunity to push one or whatever button it was to speak to the 911 dispatcher. And so the machine made all of those callbacks for them. And in this case, I really asked a lot of questions, but it's been a few months. And I got to see it live when I was there, because I called 911, they let me do it, and I hung up and the machine called me back. First time I was a little too slow and actually got one of their dispatchers. They made fun of me. Got to hang up fairly quickly. And anyways, it did work and it seemed to be very effective. And the machine was ultimately saying the same thing that their dispatchers were before they implemented it. So I don't think there was any degradation in the implementation of the policy or the liability aspects of the way the agency now operated. So in those regards, that's one example where I thought this is really cool and could benefit the 911 dispatchers a little bit.
Well, you know, right before I retired, we were talking about that particular, what you're talking about, where we call back somebody and say, push any button to be connected to a dispatcher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we asked, okay, what if you can't push a button? What if you're immobile? What if you're ill? What if you're barely able to do anything and you can't touch the button?
Could you just
say, I have a question.
Just say,
how did you dial it initially?
Yeah, what? I mean, well, there's that.
But you push the button and hold it and it dials emergency. So,
but what was your, like, and this is where I was talking to a friend of mine and we got down a rabbit hole. We've only got about 4 minutes left. So this may have to be a two-parter. But the question was, okay, so what would you have done if you had made contact with somebody on that situation, Doug, and they said, everything's fine. Would you have sent somebody out?
I think it would depend. This is where the human element comes into play.
But what does the policy say?
Well, the policy, we had a policy that was kind of fluid. It's all over the place. Write that policy. But it was one of these things where it's like, that's where the human element comes in. Because if I talk to somebody and say, hey, your phone dialed 911, are you okay? And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm going to either ask a bunch more questions or I'm rolling somebody to the house to check it out.
But what if there's no policy that says I have to call it back?
What if my AI says, no, we need to send a Terminator out there and do something? I don't know. I'm just saying. I think that AI is great. AI is wonderful. But I think a lot of times we get really stuck on it and we just accept things saying, oh, the technology is going to be so great for us. It's going to help us. Well, maybe we should just slow for a second and say, hold on. Is that the kind of help do we need? Because if we need automation in 911, then maybe we should get rid of dispatchers. I mean, maybe we should just do that.
No, but I think that's a huge jump from I'm down 40%, 50% of my staff, and we do need help versus getting rid of
everybody. What about fire departments that have automatic dispatching to their officers or to their field responders? That's automated. That's not, there's no dispatcher doing that. So why couldn't we do that with everything else? I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, how far does automation go?
We implemented that, and we had some really good success rate with getting to meet NFPA standards with dispatching fire relatively quickly.
But do you have to say something to that to get it to do that dispatching, or does it just do it?
No, it just does it.
Put it through your system. And the interesting thing was, if the fire dispatcher, because we were a place that we also answered 911 calls, we tried to have our police dispatcher not answer phone calls because they were too busy, but the fire dispatcher would get stuck answering a lot of phone calls as well. And if they took that 911 call that was CPR in progress before they either had to turn over and ask the call different dispatcher to dispatch it for them, or they would have to say, hold on a second, while they're doing CPR or whatever, dispatch the call out and put it out verbally. When we implemented this, there was no more waiting. The call drops, boom, they can click dispatch, and it was going out the door. And we actually decreased our dispatch time significantly. But we only allowed the machine to just do the initial dispatch, and it gave a call type, a subtype, an address, and those things. But we also had multiple radio channels, so we were trying to find ways to implement it and be more efficient with it. But we did a very basic launch, and it was pretty successful overall. But then after they started to go en route, they interacted with the dispatcher and the human element, as you're talking about. So we used it just beginning, not for when they wanted an extra engine or they wanted a second, third alarm, whatever it might be. All that was done by talking to us. We'd enter the call, and then it would manually or electronically dispatch the second alarm or third alarm.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and I know that there are like big agencies that, sorry, Joe, that don't, I mean, all of their officers, I mean, the dispatchers don't have time. They just read everything on the MCTs or the MDC or whatever. So I'm sorry, Joe, go ahead.
So I was just going to clarify for, I guess it was your agency that did that. So the call comes in, the call taker is doing whatever. Did you say they hit a button to dispatch fire as they're giving CPR instructions?
Oh, we had always hit a dispatch button. So we'd click
on it. So it's not automatically dispatched. It's you hit a button and then they're dispatched.
Right.
But the machine is reading it.
Yeah.
Set it to where the call dropped and automatically dispatches the setting on the call type on the CAD system that we used. But we still let the dispatcher dictate when that call went out, because they could be doing something else, or there could already be something on that radio channel. So we never made the jump of just have it accept and automatically dispatch. We wanted somebody to see it, then dispatch it. But we still got quicker at doing it for the number of times the fire dispatch was on the phone.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Well, so we are at time, but I am interested because obviously we could talk about this particular topic for hours, but I would like to invite anybody who is out there who's using artificial intelligence or machine learning or some type of program in your center, hit us up, let us know how it's working, because, you know, as Doug has said, technology is coming, and sometimes there is that challenge of being ready for it or pushing it away when it's not going to benefit public safety. So we'd love to hear what your engagement has been with public safety with artificial intelligence and machine learning, and tell us what's working, because I do think that the future of dispatch is probably going to include these things. So Joe, as you're welcome back, give us an update. Tell us where we are and how many plays we've gotten.
I was just pulling it up on the phone. We are over 25,500 plays. And last time I checked, over 400 different countries. And we are absolutely doing a fantastic job. The majority of our episodes are now getting multiple plays, hitting triple digits. We're not quite to four digits yet, but we appreciate everybody that listens to us. And we hope to see you on a further episode. Email us at wespeakdispatch@gmail.com. And Jill will help you out and become a guest.
Watson Consoles is a proud sponsor of the We Speak Dispatch podcast. For more information or to schedule a showroom tour, visit watsonconsoles.com.